All right, so I see Mike Bassick in there getting ready for the show. The G-Bag Nation will join us here in about 40 minutes. They'll have strong thoughts on the first Cowboy loss of the season. We'll get into more Cowboy stuff coming up at 1:20. What Jason Garrett had to say this morning on Sean and RJ was probably the most eventful of the Jason Garrett Monday morning interviews, maybe in years. But Ben, there was tons of other NFL action to get to, so why don't you take the ball and head down the middle of the field with NFL goods?
All right, let's keep it in the NFC East. Talk a little Giants, Redskins. This one was a pummeling. Giants got the win. 24-3 was the final. And how about this? We finally get to see Dwayne Haskins, and it wasn't really good for Redskins fans to watch. He goes 9 of 17 with 3 interceptions.
So the Gruden gone talk is getting really, really strong. Maybe we'll even see it this week. I love anything that makes Francesa look like a moron. So since he called out the coach of the Giants and they decided to not do the Francesa show anymore, the Giants are 2-0 since then. It's not going to last. But I just love seeing Francesa look like a dumbass. So this is the result that I wanted personally.
Go ahead, Ben.
Well, I was going to say, earlier today in the morning show, since you like Francesa looking like an idiot, he was talking about how Deion Sanders didn't play on offense.
He was wrong about
with
that.
With a caller. Do you have that, Shippy?
Yeah, I have it right here. 1 second. Let me put that.
All right, give Shippy a second, everybody. If everybody would just give Shippy a second.
Everybody relax. Here Which we go. Yep. Francesa in 3, 2.
Deion Sanders was a great cover corner. He was one of the great return guys and one of the great cover corners, but he was not the all-time defender that Lawrence Taylor was. That's all. He had a weakness. He would never tackle anybody against the run. He did not play against the run.
Mike, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Can you name another football player that played all three phases of the game, special teams, defense, and offense?
No. I mean, football players don't play two ways.
Deion Sanders played special teams.
Didn't play offense.
Deion Sanders played special teams.
Didn't play offense.
He's coming on a reverse.
All right. So he said Deion Sanders did not play offense.
Okay. I'm scrambling over here to Deion because we did this exercise a couple years ago when we were trying to figure out how much offense Deion played. Rushing and receiving, there's several stats for when he played over here on Football Reference. Games in which he had, in fact, the 1996 season, he actually had 67 targets.
You don't even need stats. Everyone knows he played offense.
I mean, I
don't even need stats. Who cares?
I get it if he's like, yeah, it was some junk plays. Dude, he was targeted 67 times. He averaged being targeted at least 3 times a game.
He also didn't play baseball. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Oh, yeah,
him.
He did.
I know. I was doing a Francesa.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Guys, let's move on to the Seahawks beating the Cardinals. It just looks really bad for the.
Oh, Cliff.
Looks really bad for the Cardinals. The Cardinals have allowed their most yards through 4 weeks of a season. Since 1940.
They got our hopes up because of that comeback in week one in which they took it into overtime and tied. And we all knew that the Cardinals were going to be horrible. And when they did that, I was like, I'll be damned if they don't have a little bit of magic to make it interesting. And all that magic got used up in the first week and a half.
They
got to
give it time. You just have to be, then they were impatient last year when they fired a head coach after 1 year. They got to give it time. Otherwise, it'll never work.
I see a statistic here from NFL.com I'm going to read to you, but I don't believe my eyes.
Okay.
The Seahawks won this game 27-10. They were leading at halftime. It says the Seahawks are now 53-0 when leading by 4-plus points at halftime, including playoffs.
Oh, my God. That's all-time or that's in the Carroll era?
I don't know.
That's a pretty incredible stat. We did have that they've never had a losing season with Russell Wilson as the quarterback.
Yeah.
And I believe Jadeveon Clowney got a touchdown.
He sure did.
So you look at them. That's a tough division.
Seahawks Rams Thursday night. That will tell us a lot about that division.
That and then also
the Rams looked horrible yesterday.
Yeah, the Rams did. Did we got to that game?
We haven't got to that game yet.
All right, move on to the next game. Panthers beat the Texans 16-0. And Kyle Allen, real deal, right?
I watched none of this game, but I couldn't believe the score.
Yeah, neither team was able to really move the ball very well. You know, Deshaun Watson made some good plays with his feet, and he makes some great throws sometimes, but it's just so inconsistent. That's my problem with him. Always has been. Mm-hmm. It's very inconsistent. Maybe it's the system he's in with Bill O'Brien. I mean, they did some things yesterday. I was like, what are you guys doing? They ran a play. It's kind of like a trick play. Oh, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins threw an interception. And then after the game, Bill O'Brien's like, yeah, that was terrible. He admitted it. So I walked away from that game going, man, I don't know what the Texans are. I have no clue. I kind of think I know what the Panthers are, and that's average.
I was going to say, what strange, the hell are the man. Panthers? Because they've looked way better since Kyle Allen took over.
Yeah. So think about this, though. This is the greatness of Christian McCaffrey. Kyle Allen completes 24 passes. 10 of them are to McCaffrey. McCaffrey has 10 targets, catches all 10 of them for 86 yards. He also carries the ball 27 times for 93 yards and a touchdown. So 37 touches for McCaffrey.
Wow. That is workhorse, baby.
And on Saturday, Cam Newton released a video basically admitting that he hid his foot injury from the Panthers and hid the severity of it, and that he's not going to rush back because he's just not feeling right in his foot.
So. He shouldn't. Especially if they're thinking about parting ways. I tell you what will make him come back is if Kyle Allen just keeps winning games.
Right. Suddenly I'm feeling better.
We've seen that unfold.
Guys, let's look at the game you were just talking about, though. The Buccaneers beat the Rams 55-40.
Okay, now all the conversation starting up again about Tampa Bay giving Jameis a long-term deal.
I mean, it shouldn't, because there was a big play in that game where Jameis basically let the Rams right back in it by throwing an interception up by 11 with 8 minutes left in the game.
What
are you doing?
Did they count that a touchdown, or was he down at the one on that return, on that interception?
It was a touchdown.
Oh, it was a touchdown? Touchdown. Okay, yep. And then he got concussed right?
Yeah, he got wiped out.
He got wiped out by whoever their tackle was. Destroyed him.
Goff threw the ball 68 times yesterday.
God, look at that. Yeah, okay, so 45 for 68, 517 yards, two touchdowns, four giveaways. So I don't know how many fumbles and interceptions
he had. He had three interceptions.
And a fumble.
Two of them were really bad.
Winston, 28 for 41, 385 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, him and Mariota both had great days.
And Goff's numbers are going like 517 yards, like it's going to look good. Well, he threw it 45 times, mm-hmm. Okay, and garbage time. It was all kind of getting back in the game because they were down by quite a bit, and it was always kind of a three-score game, fighting to make it a two-score game, and occasionally it would be a one-score game for a minute. So the Buccaneers are going to put points up on some teams.
They did last year at times.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Who, now have you kind of seen all these things unfold, who in the NFC is special? Who's clearly the top of the class?
There's not one.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that the teams that played last night in the Superdome are both near it. I think the Rams are near it, but they have not looked special. The Bears looked horrible week one, but have looked pretty damn good since then.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very winnable year.
Yeah.
Winnable year for everyone.
Yeah.
What is this music? Is this NFL Films
NFL
music?
NFL Primetime music. Yeah.
What? This is not NFL Films.
Though. No, this is NFL Primetime.
This is That's Berman and...
In honor of Dion, who did not play offense.
This is okay. Berman and TJ.
This is an unauthorized song.
TJ!
Guys, the Jags beat the Broncos 26-24. By the way, Jalen Ramsey was there on the sideline. And the report comes out that the Jags turned down trading Jalen Ramsey for two number one picks.
Okay, do we know, is it like New England or somebody?
That was the Chiefs.
It was the Chiefs, you think?
I bet. It's my guess.
All right, so here's what we learned after this game. The following teams have no chance to make the playoffs in the AFC. The Jets, Miami, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Denver.
Anybody, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati play tonight, so...
They're 0-for, dog.
I give them one of those teams a chance to win a game first.
If Cincinnati wins tonight, they still have no chance of making the playoffs after beating the 0-for Steelers.
And the Broncos is being just reported in the last 5 minutes. They have lost last year's number one pick, Bradley Chubb, to a torn ACL.
Oh, no! Yeah,
losing to Chubb is never good.
Especially you don't want to get it broken.
Yeah. So why not just start tanking it up now? You're 0-4.
I think they are. They're 0-4, dog.
They're trying to win yesterday, and they almost won yesterday.
Who is Flacco's backup? Is it someone worth developing?
Drew Lock.
It's Drew Lock of Missouri, who's hurt. Yeah, so
he went to Missouri.
Someone else, probably, yeah.
The guy from Missouri went to Missouri?
Yeah.
God, Denver's terrible. And they hired Vic Fangio, which is amusing.
Fournette was incredible. Fournette, let's see, he had 29 carries, 225 yards. It was the first time he's had 100-plus rushing yards in a game since the 2017 divisional round.
All right, give him props, but at the end of the game, so sometimes you throw in a quarter, like, I don't know how much you saw of Chase Daniel coming in yesterday, for example. Sometimes you throw in a backup quarterback and he can kind of do it for a little bit. Man, in that final drive, Minshew made some throws.
Dude, he was great.
He made some throws, some out route stuff on a rope.
He was getting driven to the ground a
yes.
ton, too.
What round was he drafted in?
Sixth?
Late.
I thought it was a fifth.
Day three. Yeah.
Why? Like, when y'all broke down film on him, was it just too short? Was
well,
it?
He plays for Mike Leach, who's coached up a guy enough to say, hey, throw it to the guy that's open. So you got a little bit of things going on there with, like, do I trust this air raid guy? There's a little bit of size and then arm strength. I mean, those are all things that were question marks. But
and mustache.
Hey, man, he can step in and go lead a team to winning games. In classic Doug Marrone fashion for the Jaguars yesterday, they were all fighting on the sideline after kicking the game-winning field goal.
What?
Because,
again?
Yeah, their offensive lineman Cam Robinson was trying to go after a Broncos player. So, like, all the Jaguars guys are, like, holding back. Like, don't get a penalty. You're going to knock us out of field goal range. And then he's throwing off, because he's bigger than everyone, he's throwing off the backup tight ends who are trying to hold him back. And then they're on the sideline, and Fournette's, like, yelling at him. I mean, the Jaguars are just fighting all the time. It's so great.
All right, I got an exercise here for you guys. Let's take the contracts out of it and all that. But who are the players on the Cowboys that you wouldn't accept two first-round picks for? Because, again, Jacksonville wouldn't take two first-round picks for Jalen Ramsey. They said, no, that's not enough. Obviously, Dak.
Dak, and that's it.
Think about that.
Well, okay,
even
hold
if
on,
it's
hold
a
30-second
pick, you're gonna take two. You're gonna take, yeah.
I don't know if I would.
Okay, Zach Martin. Travis.
Zach, okay, you're right. I keep Zach. I keep Travis, especially with the way their contracts
you're
keep
a are.
Guard? Dude, look
two
at their
firsts.
Look at their contracts, though.
Van Der Esch. Would you take? Well,
yeah, I'd take two firsts for Van Der Esch.
He said take contracts out of it.
Yeah, take contracts out of it.
Okay.
Like, in other words, you wouldn't say, well, they couldn't trade Zeke. You say, no, if you can get two firsts.
So then I don't even have to get that accelerated signing
bonus?
Yeah,
not even any of that.
Then I'll trade any of them.
Yeah.
You can have anybody on my team for two first-round picks. That's what the Raiders did.
Anyone besides Dak.
So think about that. They turned down two first-round picks. They're not in a hurry to get rid of him. Marrone is gone. And they're going to get rid of the coach and not the player.
By the way.
And is it really him, though, or is it Coughlin? That he's beefs
both.
With. Okay, so they're both gone.
Yeah, but who beefs with a front office guy unless it's Antonio Brown? I mean, Coughlin is up in a box. I'll say this, though. As you sit here and you go, hey, I wouldn't trade that guy for two first-round picks. He was on the sideline in a hoodie. Like,
he wasn't feeling well.
Dude, he's in a hoodie.
Everyone in that division's 2-2, so.
Yeah.
That's why they're probably not going to do it.
What's going on with you right now, Ben?
Are you guys, am I having a stroke or are there lights blinking in here?
I saw a light blink twice.
I've seen a couple flashes in here.
I brought a strobe light to work today.
Strobe light hose.
Am I having a stroke because I'm not seeing the flashing lights you guys are describing?
Yeah. Yes. Sorry.
That's okay. The Cowboys got beat because of their conservative offensive approach.
Okay. I like that. I would say the Cowboys got beat because they got dominated at the line of scrimmage on both sides.
You could convince me of that.
KT, the Cowboys got beat because?
Two fumbles.
Okay. I almost went there, but yeah, I think you're right.
Shippy? But you're right. You're right about the defensive line getting the Saints defensive line dominating the Cowboys offensive line.
The Cowboys got beat because?
Untimely penalties.
Yeah, those were so weird. The offensive
those
pass
offensive
interference.
Pass interferences were just... Especially the first one, I didn't see anything that I don't see on any typical NFL route.
I think all of these are valid, and I think it kind of points as to why they lost. They still only lost 12-10, but also New Orleans got penalty screwed, too.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, they absolutely did.
And, dude, they had a better game plan, apparently. I mean, if you look at what they did defensively, you know, Marshawn Lattimore shut down Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
So is Amari Cooper hurt?
I'm going to buy into that.
Is that? I mean,
I'm not going to say hurt. I'm going to say he's physically compromised.
I know at different times Lattimore has been perceived as being one of the best corners in the game, but some people feel like he's slipped off and dropped off a little bit, and so maybe he's not that. Maybe that was a big opportunity for him to show that he is. Dude, he had Amari Cooper blanketed.
Right.
Lattimore's one of those guys that just kind of ebb and flow, but it's game time. It's on. Like with a matchup like Cooper, you know, he's ready to go lock down a guy like Cooper. No offense to Cooper, but like Like, Lattimore's good. He just hasn't all came together yet. He's good. I just think, to me, and I mean, going back to what Ben said, though, about the Saints' defensive line, the Saints rushed four most of the game and played coverage most of the game, and you didn't do anything to combat that. And that's where I go, okay, so they dominated you, and this is where we talk about football and adjusting and stuff. All right, sometimes you just get your butt kicked up front. Okay, whatever. But could you do anything to help out the offense?
Mm-hmm.
And just all the stuff they'd been doing, the pre-snap motion, the RPOs, the
screens,
different personnel groupings, you didn't really do anything to combat that. You just said, we're going to run it at you 20 times. Okay, they we're going to run it right at you. And they're like, they covered that.
Such and they never got a rhythm going. So like when KT talks about those untimely fumbles, that's part of not getting a rhythm going. When we're talking about these running plays, they're not. It's hard to get a rhythm going when you are long on these plays. And in one of, like, you have moments where you pick up a first down, you start getting some energy. One of those, Witten had a nice first down pickup that ended in a fumble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where you start going, well, hell, we didn't have that many drives. A couple of them were fumbles. A couple were three and outs. We didn't do much with the ball.
Most frustrating parts, I think, for Cowboy fans is that the Cowboys continue to run the ball, even though it wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
I think you have to wonder, okay, did the Saints say, listen, we're going to take Amari Cooper out with Lattimore. We dare you to beat us somewhere else. And did the Cowboys just not have the firepower to win anywhere else without Gallup?
I think the firepower could have been there. Maybe it wasn't going to be a 30-point showing, you know, against the Saints defense. Maybe it's going to be that thing, but you got to create your own firepower or find other ways. I mean, part of playing this game is, and where we're taking football now, it's just not it's not what it used to be. Just
I want to wait
up and go,
yeah,
and mash. It's not that anymore.
I want to wait and hear what some of these receivers were or weren't covered. Which, you know, that's going to take people watching film that's not on my television screen.
Because
I think that's a part of it. But also, I do believe, I mean, Steven came on here and talked about crowd noise two or three times. And that's why the closest thing we saw to really shaking things up were two terrible Tavon Austin moments. I mean, for the most part, they weren't really showing what they have in their bag. It's like, yeah, let's keep the bag closed this week and go run the ball.
All right. I think we all feel like the offensive line didn't have their best game. They got really dominated. And so maybe Dak didn't have time to throw. Maybe that was a part of it as well. But in terms of the guys who were not suiting up for this, who deserves the most blame from the blame thrower? Garrett, Linehan. Or actually, I'll go ahead and include Dak. Who deserves more blame out of Garrett, Linehan, and Dak? I'm sorry, Linehan? Not Linehan, Kellen Moore.
You are still Garrett. Killing
still
Linehan,
killing,
dude. What the hell?
I'm on auto-kill Linehan. And it was like Kel Linehan Moore. Was very, very much reminiscent of that. Okay, so Kellen Moore or Garrett or Dak, who deserves the most blame of those three?
Okay, I don't... I think that their problems were the way that they prepared for the week and the approach that they took into the game, and I think Garrett is more to blame for that.
Mm.
I think if they had just gone out and approach this game the way they did the other games, I think it would have been a far different story. So I will blame Garrett for that.
When I say this, I'm saying this not from a, I think, I'm saying this from a, we're just speculating, right? We're just speculating?
Speckle.
My speculation is that Garrett got his hands on the game plan.
Ooh.
That's my speculation.
Conspiracy.
Because here's the thing, guys. Like, this is what's very frustrating about this. Okay, so I'm going to go. Here's two candy bars. Here is a Snickers, and here is a name a candy
Twix.
Bar and a Twix.
Well, why'd you look at me to name a candy
to kind
bar?
Of same, okay, let's just do this. Let's just
kind
do
a jerk move.
Here's a two flavors of dipping sauce. Here is ketchup,
ball?
And here's mustard.
Okay.
I'm mustard. Don't
when I dip my fry into the ketchup or mustard, I can clearly taste the difference. I'm not mixing them together. The first 3 weeks, I was dipping it in the ketchup, and it tasted good, and it was awesome. Last night, I dipped my fries in mustard. Everything that offense showed you was all the stuff that had been happening. You didn't see any of that in the first 3 weeks. You saw very little of it in the first 3 weeks. All those elements to the game were missing.
I think you have a convincing tone and cadence. I just don't know what you're saying.
The analogy's terrible because ketchup would be the thing that you would normally go to.
It's a good analogy.
So what about the candy bars?
It would be you would reverse it.
I was trying to find taste.
Did you abort that? Did you abort the candy bar analogy in the middle of that?
If it looks like something,
It is.
No, it's not a duck.
Last night's offensive game plan looked like a Jason Garrett game plan.
No, if you reverse it.
The first 3 weeks looked like a Kellen Moore game plan.
If you reversed it and said that the basic thing would be to dip it in the, because that's what everybody does. They dip their french fries in the ketchup.
I was just doing an analogy.
Well, put those on a hot dog, you know?
I like mayonnaise and Russian sauce.
Well, yeah. Maybe that's a Nussmeier and Kitna. I don't know. Maybe Sanjay Lal.
Russian.
I don't know.
Yeah, Russian, little ketchup, mayonnaise, little secret.
I'm real confused.
Let's go to line one. Let's go to Robert in Frisco. We want to let you weigh in on this. How you doing today, Robert?
Okay, yeah. I got a couple of things. Number one, we have Pollard, and we also have Zeke. Why don't we put them both in at the same time?
For him to get...
Hang on, here's the other. You're talking about a setup show. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Robert.
You're talking about a setup that would be different. Think about this. You got Witten on one side is tight end, Zeke on the other side is tight end, Pollard in the back. Who are you going to hold? You got them all spread out.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Robert. I think he's saying, you know, you pointed this out earlier, the most successful play they had was, did they have three tight ends on the field during that play?
For Pollard to do what he did last week against Miami, and you saw it, and whatever you can say, it's against Miami, for him to do what he did last week at the end of that game, mm-hmm. and then to get two snaps the following week, that's just a hint of incompetence.
Did he only get two snaps or two touches?
Why did he get two snaps?
Two snaps.
Wow, that is ridiculous.
I'm not trying to be too hard on the guys. I'm really not, because they're 3-1, and I'm not panicking. Things are fine.
You sound like you have a panicking tone, though.
For him to do what he did last week and then to get two snaps,
mm-hmm.
I mean, guys,
that doesn't make sense.
Open your eyes. It doesn't make a single lick of sense.
I agree, but you are coming in here with a crazy conspiracy, and your tone is that of
it's
a panic.
It's not a conspiracy. I watched the game, and I saw Garrett's offense.
I saw Kellen's offense the last three weeks. But I think, you know, we get into offense. I mean, so we're talking, there's two different things. There's the philosophy of how we're going to win the game, and then there's the plays that are called and when they're called.
Right.
And I just think that there's so many people talking about how loud it is, and Garrett acting defensive about, what do you mean we ran more than we normally did? In his mind, it's not we ran more than we normally did. In his mind is, we're going to win the game in the loud environment by running and winning the point of attack, and that's how we're going to win. Oh, we didn't win at the point of attack, so why are you guys talking about the way the game was called?
Mm-hmm.
The game was called the way it was supposed to be called because we were going to go in and win this way because of these environmental things.
It might be, maybe you're right that maybe Kellen Moore is mid-management here. He's not really in charge.
Yeah.
He's still working for his...
Yeah, but if we go there, we have to say that Garrett was real creative the first 3 weeks of the year, and we're not willing to do that.
I really don't have to do that, though. Because if Kellen is mid-management. Well, yeah, but now through 4 weeks, we finally have a difference. We've finally seen something that goes, well, that makes me think someone else is involved.
I like it. I think more likely they just got dominated. And it changed, you know, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. They got punched in the mouth. They weren't able to do what they want to do. Then they had some uncharacteristic turnovers.
Right. Don't you think Kellen was sitting there reluctantly going, all right, we're going to do this. Okay.
That's the exact vibe I have. And he's in no position right now to speak up.
Right.
Garrett wants to get on it. And this takes it too far. So I really don't want to be irresponsible.
No,
we are talking sports on Cowboy Monday.
Yeah.
Just think about how you would act if you were the head coach of a team, okay, and they've been talking about this other guy coming and taking your job. Hey, once you're gone, we'll get Sean Payton. Okay, now they haven't talked about it, but just people.
Right.
It's been a narrative. You can't avoid that.
Right.
He's not dumb. Like he still hears things. Boy, I think he got in there, big game on the road, Sunday night. I think he got in there and he put his prints on the playbook. And guess what? He's the head coach, so he can do that. But there was too many. If it was one or two things, there were like seven different things that were missing from the offense.
Let's go to Steve in Oklahoma on line two. Steve in Oklahoma, you're on the Ben and Skin Show. What do you got for us today, Steve?
Well, first off, guys, I love you so much. I listen to your show, and I'm so fortunate that I get to live in the world that you all make a reality for me.
Man.
No, seriously, you make my manly stub a mini job.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that I really think that Garrett held back. He went back to the preseason plan because he knows that we're going to face the Saints in the playoffs to get to the Super Bowl. And I'm just saying, it's a little bit of a conspiracy, I know, but I think that's what's going on here.
Thank you, Steve.
I do think that...
Bait game theory.
That was a good Steve.
Nah, I mean, I don't even know that I think so much it's the bait game. I think part of it is they thought that they could win this way and try to establish some other tendencies, and they were wrong. They didn't win that way.
Why wouldn't they think that? Because they've been winning that way for a long time now.
Oh, yeah.
So why wouldn't they think?
And not only that, dudes, they lost the game 12-10, and they had two turnovers at midfield. I mean, I guarantee you, Garrett is looking at last night's game thinking there's nothing wrong with the approach. Not one thing did he think was wrong with the approach. He's like, yeah, man, we had those turnovers, can't have turnovers and untimely penalties. If we don't do that stuff, we go in there and we win a tough game on the road. But the overall theme of this is they dumbed things down because they were scared of the environment. They thought it was going to be too loud in there. They didn't want to. They thought that razzle-dazzling it up would lead to mistakes.
Well, he did. He did act dumbfounded by Sean and RJ's questions this morning. And, hey, man, you've ran the ball a lot more on first down than you usually do. He's like, what are you talking about? Well, no, we didn't. Well, yeah, based on math. All right, let's go to the last call here, line four. Jared in Dallas, what do you got for us today, Jared?
Hey, guys. So I'm going to get straight to it. I'm going to drop a big F-bomb. And it's fire, Jason Garrett. Okay. KT, I agree with you 100%, man. I'm sorry, dude. But Jason Garrett went into that game 100% safe, 100% conservative, didn't let Kellen Moore do anything that we were supposed to be doing throughout the first 3 weeks. I think Jason Garrett went in there scared because he thought Kellen Moore was going to crumble. It's his first really big game as offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. And same thing with Tony Pollard. I mean, he can't put up 100 yards rushing against the Saints. There's just no way he can't do it again. But he never gave him the chance. So, sorry. Bye-bye, JG.
To be completely fair, there's no way of knowing who was in charge of the game plan. It might have been the same as it was the first 3 weeks, and things changed. And back to Ben's point. This thing. Pointing out one thing or two things is not a good way to talk about a Cowboys loss or win. Mm-hmm. It's all circular. If you wanted to come in and throw it deep, but the Saints were rushing forward and getting to you while playing coverage, well, you weren't going to be able to throw the ball down the field either way. So it's all circular. But the little things before the snap happens that weren't happening, the little motions, the personnel groups into the game, that's just enough to go, well, we didn't do everything we could to win that game. Maybe they know that. Maybe they learned a lesson early in the year. You know, maybe it's one of those things. But
regardless, I don't care. I like the L. I don't want to lose, but I don't think it's an embarrassing loss like the USA Today said. It was a hard-fought game, and you got to tip your caps to them. They just beat you. They outplayed you. And if they didn't have the dumb penalties, they would have beat you by 20 or by 10 maybe. But regardless... I think those games can be humbling. I think it can be a good thing to stop eating the cheese and realize, oh God, maybe Kellen Moore's not a head coaching candidate. Maybe Dak doesn't need Mahomes' money. Whatever. I'm not saying that anything based in that game is representative of what he's worth or not worth. I'm just saying we've all been eating the cheese, and it's the Cowboy fan base has been planning the parade route for next year's back-to-back Super Bowl.
Yeah, I would much rather come in here and talk about, all right, we were too conservative and we lost a game at New Orleans 12-10 to go, wow, the Bucs came into our building and dropped 55.
Yeah. Yep.
No, I think absolutely. If we're comparing the top of the conference, I feel way better about what's currently happening with the Cowboys than other top-tier NFC teams.
Yeah, I feel like the offense is going to get better. Mm-hmm. I feel like they need to get Gallup back and maybe they need to get Cooper healthy. And I think they're still figuring some things out with Zeke, but... defense, man, that was solid. And Robert Quinn is no freaking joke.
Yep.
And dude, Stephen Jones today talking about trying to figure out a way to keep him.
How about that?
That was pie.
Big surprise of the day.
It's hard to.
Some of that pie.
You know, I always want to go down the hall and get that pie.
Tie my pie, eat mouth down.
All right, coming up next, the G-Bag Nation joins us. We'll find out what's coming up on their presentation on a Cowboy Monday right here in the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.